Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Mark Mayberry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, this half hour. He's our good friend. I'm excited about getting Mark back on the show. Mark travels around the world talking to corporations and organizations and helping them spread entrepreneurial skills throughout their organizations to help them to come into what we're calling the century of the entrepreneur, the 21st century. He's doing that in an outstanding way as a speaker, as a seminar leader, and also he's the co-author of a book called Building the Dream Workforce, How to Make Good People Great and Great People Even Better. And as I say, the most important thing for me is he's our good friend. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I'd like to start off by wishing you and Devana a happy second anniversary.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that, Mark. I guess I haven't mentioned that. My lovely bride and I just celebrate our second anniversary. Thank you for that, Mark. That's nice of you. I appreciate it. Mark, I want you to help us go for the gold in 2004. One of the things I've been talking to my audiences about is I've been saying, let's have a good 2004. Let's just plan on that. Let's just set our sights on an outstanding 2004. You know, we've come through the tough years. We've had a couple of three tough years. 2004 is going to be different. 2004 is going to be good for us. And I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to, as much as possible, to have a good year. And so I want you to help us go for the gold. And you actually heard a guy speak about this over the weekend, didn't you?
Well, if you want to go for some expertise, you want to go to the people that have been there and done that. And I can't think of a better example than Peter Vidmar, who was on the 1984 U.S. Olympic team in gymnastics. And that team was the first team in, oh, I don't know how many years, to win the gold medal in gymnastics as a team sport for the United States. They were severe underdogs. Everybody said they had no chance at all. I believe the Japanese were number one. And Peter and his team came through and won that gold medal. I had the opportunity just yesterday afternoon to listen to Peter give a presentation on what he calls ROV. And I thought it was a fascinating concept that certainly would apply to every one of your listeners this morning, Jim.
Well,
ROV stands. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, tell us what that means.
ROV, he breaks it down into three different categories there. The R stands for risky, taking risks. The O stands for original. And the V stands for virtuosity. And here's how. Now, I couldn't judge a gymnastics event in the Olympics for all the tea in China, because I don't understand all the specifics and how the arms are supposed to be and the toes pointed and all that, Jim. But watching these guys do the things they do and the ladies, it just absolutely blows me away. But he talked about the fact that when you do a routine in the Olympics, whether it's the high bar or the rings, whatever it might be, that basically, as we know, the perfect score is 10. And he says that you can get a 9.4 just by pretty much doing the routine and not messing it up.
That's kind of the standard, isn't it?
It is kind of a standard. You're going to get a 9.4 if you just do everything without making a mistake. But he said in order to get the extra 0.6, it's broken down in the Olympics by three different categories that are classified as ROV. The R stands for risky. You have to take risks. The O stands for original. In other words, you have to be different than the competition. And the third thing is virtuosity. In other words, what you do, you absolutely have to be the best that's doing it. You may do something on the parallel bars that everybody else has done, but you're going to add a little something to it and just excel where your competition just did what they needed to do. So I think we could take all three of these things, and certainly in business, you talked about the fact of let's go out and go for the gold in 2004, and you can't go for the gold by just hanging on to things the way they've always been.
Right. You can't stick with the status quo. You can't you can't do what's basically expected of you.
Absolutely. And he talked about some of the things that they do. I mean, the high bars and everything. I mean, you take a physical risk. Mm-hmm. If you miss the bar, if you don't come down just correctly on some of these things, you're going to be hurt.
That's right.
And in business, yes, we get hurt, but it's not, thank goodness, physically most of the time. But we have to be willing to take some chances. And he talked about all through his presentation to, I can't imagine the pressure, Jim, and I doubt you can either, of practicing something for years and years and years.
Every day.
Every day, hours and hours a day, on something that to me would become real, real boring.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you have one opportunity at the Olympics.
One moment.
Do it. Right, one moment. And if you don't do it, but in order to get that extra 0.6, he broke it down. Each one of these is worth 0.2, so that adds up to the 0.6 that can bring you to a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that first 0.2, you have to take risks and do things that really are, in his case, physically dangerous.
I remember the first time a woman, it may have been Olga Corbett, I can't remember who it was, who the first woman to do a backflip on the ballast beam.
Right, right.
Which was very dangerous. I mean, you could crack your skull doing that.
There's no doubt about it.
And the first time that she did that in competition, I forgot who it was. I wish I could say the name. I mean, she got a 10 and won the competition just because she took that risk, and nobody had done that before.
Nobody else would do it. He talked about something that I can't remember the gentleman's name, but you would certainly recognize him. I think his first name was Mitch, that he did some exercise in one of the Olympic events, and he had tried it, and even in practice at his best, he only was able to complete it successfully 75% of the time.
Right.
So it was a tremendous risk to even try that at the Olympics. And he made the point that this thing was so risky that 20 years later, during an Olympic event, nobody had ever dared
Wow.
to try it again.
Well, and see, and Mark, an example of this in our lives would be, I talked in the earlier hour, I talked about giving a proposal to a prospect or to a customer about becoming integrating what you do into their business. A risk that you could take would be to give them a proposal and literally presume that you could integrate what you do into your customer. And that would be a risky proposal, but it might be one that would really excite your customers. When we come back, we're going to get Mark to talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about originality and virtuosity right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Mark Mayberry.
A band is blowing Dixie, double fold.
We're back. It's 23 after. We're visiting with our good friend Mark Mayberry. Mark, give us your website, please.
www.markmayberry.com. That's MarkMayBerry.
And is that where we can find your book, Building the Dream Workforce?
Absolutely, or even easier, just call my 800 number. Won't cost you a thing. That's 800-394-6138.
And folks, I encourage you to check out Mark's website. Anything Mark has to say or do is worth your time and money. Mark,
thank you.
And by the way, folks, if you would like for someone to come and help your organization become an entrepreneurial organization and get into the 21st century with the entrepreneurial values that we all need, Mark can help you with that as well. Mark, let's get back to this risky thing, and then I want to move into the originality. Being a small business owner, period, making payroll every week and growing your business, that's the 9.4 of comparison analogy to the gymnastics. Those guys have to do certain things just to be able to get a 9.4. We have to do those things by making payroll, by showing up every day, and by being successful. That's the 9.4. That's risky enough, but it's not going to get us the gold. We've got to do things like think outside the box with regard to our customers, don't we? We have to focus on things that nobody else is doing. We have to come up with value-added proposals for our customers that nobody else has thought of before. That's that backflip that nobody else has ever done before. those are the kinds of risky things that we've got to do if we're really going to have the gold, isn't it?
Jim, I just came back from a conference of peers, the National Speakers Association, and I've been in, this is my 15th year as a professional speaker, and I'm so fired up by the things that I learned over the, at this conference that I am going to 100% change my marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a risk.
Yeah.
Because for 14 years, I've gotten by doing things a certain way and been very successful. But I am going to totally revamp my marketing strategy and take a risk that it will work.
Well,
that's what your listeners have to do.
That's exactly right. What about original? What does originality have to do with this?
Originality is talked about the fact that, you know, some of these things, I mean, how many different ways can you go on the high beams or make the rings? You have to, at a competition, Peter talked about the fact that you have to come up with something that nobody has ever done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was the first one with stuffed crust pizza? I don't know, but everybody followed them.
Yeah.
But there was a leader. I think my favorite example right now of being original is M&M's candies, because every other candy bar has been on the shelf and they're out there and they have ads about how good they taste. But M&M's, I don't know if you're aware or not, has got the campaign going on of where'd the colors go?
That's right.
If you buy a pack of M&M's, your colors are not there. They're black and white. And that's kind of risky to take that, and it goes back to, remember the new Coke, and everybody just rebelled, but what a wonderful marketing campaign. So they were original. They were different. I have fun in my presentations right now with these black and white M&Ms, and I ask anybody else in the room, well, what is Milky Way doing? What are Snickers doing?
Right.
What other candy companies are doing anything to get people talking about them? And the answer is nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
M&M's is original. They're out there by themselves. And our listeners have to be original. They have to be different. If you take a brochure, if you have brochures on your company, if I came in and I crossed off your name and put in the name of your main competitor, would they be saying the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you original? What makes you different? What makes you unique?
One of the things that I like to tell people to do, and I try to tell myself to do, is take a relationship and turn it upside down and see what falls out.
That's right.
It might be something, a new way to look at things, especially a new way to integrate yourself into a customer's operation. And I'll tell you, Mark, that's one of my big pushes right now, is to help small business owners realize that we're in the 21st century. The best way to have sustainable success is to become integrated, not just deliver things to our customers, but to integrate into their operation. And that takes risk and that takes originality. But
I just gave a presentation to Jackson Hewitt Tax Services, kind of like an H&R Block, and they have got a tie-in with Office Depot where everybody in their organization pretty much has to order their supplies through Office Depot. So Office Depot was able to go in there and integrate their, to make it easy for them to get online, to order, so everything's taken care of. They integrated what they have with the Jackson Hewitt team, and it's working tremendously well.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good example. What about virtuosity?
Virtuosity just means that when you're doing something, you just do it that little 0.2 difference, a 0.2 better than anybody else is doing it. He talked about you maybe point your toes a little higher, you kick your legs up just that little bit higher. And you and I, being not experts in the field of gymnastics, maybe not even be able to notice that, but the judges notice, and he actually performed two routines, one at the 9.4, and then the other one at the extra plus 2, and even though we were not experts, we could tell the difference.
Once it had been pointed out to you, you could tell.
Right, just saying, you know, I'm going to do it at the way that the competition does it first, then I'm going to go back and show you what virtuosity is, and we could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask your listeners, can your customers see that virtuosity in the products and services that you offer them?
Mark, this has been excellent. Thank you very much. Risky, take a risk, an extra risk, not just a regular risk, but an extra risk. Be original and excel. Do something what's the word? Employ virtuosity, I guess.
Employ virtuosity,
yes. That's a word you don't use a lot, is it?
No.
Hey, Mark, thanks for being here. Thanks for letting us have some fun today.
Thank you, Jim.
Mark Mayberry, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Quick break. I'll be right back with our good friend Peter Meyer after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.